Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
It is, and this morning in the studio we've got Justin O'Sullivan, who is the Associate Director of the Liggins Institute. Morena, Justin.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
Good, good.
Well, we're talking about diabetes today, and specifically type 1 diabetes and the relationship between the lung and the potential of diabetes. Can you tell us a little bit more about what your sort of foundation of your research is?
Sure. So about 26,000 people in New Zealand have type 1 diabetes. And so you have a relative risk of developing that, and that risk comes about from your genes
right.
and from the DNA that you have. So there's a whole lot of different changes in your DNA, and about 67 places. And if you have a combination of those, then you have a higher risk of developing type 1 diabetes than normal people, mm-hmm. or than other people. Sorry, not normal people, you know, but than other people, because yeah. everybody has a risk.
Right.
But if you develop some autoantibodies and you start to go on this progression to developing type 1 diabetes, then what we think happens is there are some actual variants or some changes in your DNA, and they change some genes in your lungs.
Oh, wow.
And so if you then get sort of respiratory viral infections and things, then we think that triggers off the full-on development of type 1 diabetes.
That's really interesting. And this is obviously quite new developments in mm-hmm. understanding type 1 diabetes. What kind of led to this, I guess, discovery of this kind of connection there?
Well, so this is a lot of work has led to this hypothesis that we've got now and what we're working on. And that's come through from a lot of different places. So around the world, a lot of data from places around the world and observations and big prospective studies which have been following people from birth.
Mm-hmm.
We do computational work, and so that's where we've come at this from.
Yeah.
But we've got a lot of stuff to do really to prove whether it's true or not.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a really tantalizing bit of information, because there are drugs that are being developed now that target some of the genes that we've sort of identified.
Yeah.
And they have actually shown an effect in slowing down the progression of type 1 diabetes. So we're really, really excited. But we've got a lot of stuff to do to prove it yet, I think, yeah.
So if you do prove it, does it mean that you'll be able to kind of catch it earlier? Will it be giving you sort of like signs? Or what's the, I guess, the usefulness of being able to prove this link?
Yeah. So we think that if we can actually develop a way to stop this, then you can treat people and maybe hold and stop progression of type 1 diabetes, which would mean that people would stay fully capable of producing enough insulin for a lot longer in their lives. You know, a lot of people develop type 1 diabetes when they're older as well, so adults do it. It's not just a child's disease.
Yeah.
You know, I've got friends who've recently just developed it themselves.
Yeah.
And so it's really interesting, but we think we could slow that progression down, hopefully in the future.
That would be quite amazing if that can happen. What's the next sort of step for this research then?
So we're trying now we would have to move to sort of cell models to try and understand and prove that this is actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
And once we've done that, then you can start to work on developing drugs that might target things and try and prevent the progression that we're seeing.
That's amazing. And as you were saying, this is kind of like an international thing as well. So you're working or touching base with people who are doing similar research overseas, or how does that work?
So we work with some clinicians at the hospital here. But what we're trying to do is we're setting up information, and then we're trying to pass that out to other groups.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of other groups around the world that have expertise that we don't. And if we can get this information to them, then really that will help them and will help us too, because, you know, we can't do everything.
No.
It just doesn't work. You don't have the skills. Yeah.
It's got to be collaborative.
It does.
And what size of a team are you working with here? Are they PhD students? What's the kind of you're working with?
Yeah, I have a group of about 10 PhD students at the moment, and 3 postdocs at work with me. So I'm really lucky, yeah. They keep pushing me, so it's really good.
Mm.
Yeah, very exciting.
Must be nice to have that big kind of crew working on something like this, because we do have a huge problem with diabetes in New Zealand, and yeah, this would be an amazing thing to help people out.
Yeah.
What would be something you'd say, I guess, to people who might be listening, who have family members with diabetes and things like that? What are sort of some of the warning signs maybe that people need to look out for if they're worried about diabetes?
Oh, I think I'm not a clinician,
yeah,
unfortunately, so I don't really know those signs.
Mm.
So I can't really I'm sorry, I can't really comment.
You're on the
on
other
that.
You're on the I'm other on the, end of the research, the other side.
That's right, yeah. We look at things on a much smaller scale.
That's, you know. That must be fascinating though, to see how then that recreates in the body, you know.
It is really fascinating to see how it works. There are now actually with these 67 sort of genetic variants that we can identify or that have been identified, we can actually predict the risk for subsets of the population really, really highly now when they're born. So we can predict whether they develop type 1 diabetes by the time they're 5. And that's only for a subset of the population because unfortunately the data is really skewed towards, you know, Caucasians and that sort of thing as a result of all of the genetic data that's around the world.
So will that be something that's looked at in the future for this research as well, as looking for more like ethnic diversity or cultural diversity in the sample groups?
Absolutely. So there's a really strong movement to do that. Yeah. And it's trying to come through, and the information is starting to come through now, which is really, really important because in the absence of that understanding of the diversity, you know, we really don't understand anything.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming in, Justin. It's been a real pleasure to chat to you. I hope you have a lovely Christmas break.
Thanks. You too.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn, thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.
Thank you.